WRIF HD2 Detroit.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
That's right, it is Wednesday night, another edition of Nerd Radio here on Rift 2. Chuck Bean, Jefferson Moore in studio with you on a Wednesday night. Jefferson, it's getting colder. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm wearing a scarf right now.
I know, it's cold. Super cold. And if you follow us on Twitter, you see that one of our studio friends, Kate, has made these cool comic book scarves that had like Thor and Iron Man and stuff on. Yeah. I want one.
It's really cool. On Twitter, you can check us out.
Yeah, you caught me off guard with that. Yes, you can check us out on Twitter at Rift2Nerds, and as well as on the Facebooks, facebook.com/Rift2Nerds. So, 2 weeks ago, Nerd Heaven, man. I died and went to Nerd Heaven, and it was called YumaCon. Yeah. It was amazing. It was a 4-day thing. It was like Thursday through Sunday, downtown at the Kobo Center and the Ren Center. It's a big anime convention, but really there was a lot of stuff. There was comic book stuff. There was a lot of video games stuff going on. It was Nerd Heaven. It was absolutely cool. There was people running all over the place in costume. There was like anything you can think of. I saw a bunch of what's the chick from BioShock, the last BioShock.
Elizabeth.
There was a dozen Elizabeths really cool. Everywhere. Yeah. I saw some Booker DeWitt. I saw some Five Nights at Freddy's cosplay, which was creepy. Amazing.
That's so ironic though, because literally the problem with Five Nights at Freddy's is like the way that the animatronics are going to kill you is stuffing you in
the animatronics. Well, some people did the animatronic suits and some people just did like human versions. Like there was a family. There was literally a family.
That's messed up.
Two little kids. There was like a little kid and an older kid and then a mom and a dad, and they were all dressed as Five Nights at Freddy's characters. And like one of them had the little bib and the yellow.
Well,
like,
there's really only the five?
There's only the four monsters. There's the four monsters, yeah.
And the other guy's nameless, so...
The guy you play is nameless. We'll talk more about Five Nights later on in the show, absolutely. But yeah, there was that stuff. Tons and tons of anime characters. It's funny, I saw so many cosplay of different anime characters that it's like made me interested in checking out different cartoons that I don't watch now. I saw a bunch of people. I saw one of the photo opportunities for this show called Ruby. It's R-W-B-Y. It's put out by the Rooster Teeth people, the guys who do Red versus Blue.
Right.
Yeah, and they do this cool kind of anime show, and there's so many amazing costumes for it. That I'm like, I need to check that out. And you know, there's a lot of cute girls, so you know that never hurts.
Now answer me this: how many Deadpools were there?
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
Always so popular.
There were so many Deadpools. Let me tell you, sir. I think I count last count was 6 or 7. There was one dude during the Marvel shoot that I went to. I was dressed on Saturday as casual Hawkeye, Matt Fraction's Hawkeye from the Avengers. There was one dude that showed up in a Deadpool costume, and then he had tearaway pants. he was ridiculous. He was hilarious. Of course, there was like a Deadpool in a Hawaiian shirt running around. There were a couple of regular Deadpools. It's always neat to see all the different stuff. The Marvel shoot was great. There was the new Muslim Miss Marvel. There was a girl dressed as that. I got a selfie with her, and another girl that was dressed as Miss America from the Young Avengers, and is like her costume was perfect. There's some people that I've met at previous cons that I've kind of made friends with that were there in different costumes that were really cool. I got photos with another dude as Hawkeye and Kate Bishop, the female Hawkeye from the Young Avengers. It was, another show, Dramatical Murder. There was a photo shoot for that a friend of mine was part of. And like the show and the game, which I played on my PC, is literally like a dating sim with like one dude and then like five other dudes. So it's kind of gay. there's science fiction and there's crazy stuff going on, but you know, literally it's pretty much a gay dating sim. And then they made a cartoon out of it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. In fact, you know, I kind of dig it. But there were like at the photo shoot for it, there was, I said, let's say like 20 people at the photo shoot, one dude.
Oh.
20 very attractive ladies all dressed as dude characters very well. And one dude. And I was like, if I'd only made me a costume for Dramatical Murder, I could get pictures with a bunch of pretty ladies. It would have been fantastic. But there was so much to do. Above and beyond the cosplay, there was the dealer's room over at Kobo where you can buy all the cool stuff. They had the body pillows and the wall scrolls and all the different toys and stuff.
Weird, though.
I know. You know what? I had a discussion with some friends about that. Body pillows are weird. However, secretly, I think everybody has like at least one character that like if you saw a body pillow, you'd be like, oh, well, that's okay. Like all the other body pillows are weird, but that is okay.
Okay, I'll give you that, I guess.
But yeah, the dealer's room was super cool. I actually bought this comic from a local artist takes the Hannibal from the TV show and goes through like the whole two seasons of it. But Hannibal is a cat that like shows up on Will Graham's door like randomly, and then I'll have to bring it in so you can check it out next week.
How does it even work?
It's phenomenally hilarious.
It sounds great. Yeah,
yeah, I'll have to tell you. I'll bring it in next week. And you
is
check
the
it
cat
out.
A psychiatrist too?
Oh no, he's crazy. He's Hannibal. He eats other characters in the show.
As a cat.
All right. At one point,
I need to see that.
The best. Just a real quick example. There's a one of the pages is like there's this cup and it says Will's sanity and Hannibal's sitting next to it and he looks over at it and just like a cat he just knocks it over. Will's like, why did you do that? And he's like, I wanted to see what you would do, which is for the show.
That's exactly from it. Yeah,
it was hilarious.
That's amazing.
Over at the Rensen at Kobo, they had the dealer's room and they had some of the panels and stuff. Over at the Rensen, they had a game room. They had a couple of game rooms. They had like an arcade game room with all these Dance Dance Revolution games and some old arcade games. Then they had a bigger expanded game room that had a bunch of consoles set up. Like they had some classic consoles. They had a bunch of PlayStations and Xboxes set up with like Halo and Street Fighter and all that cool stuff on it. I spent the most time. I wish, if I have one regret, is that I didn't spend more time at the Run Center in that game room. They had a copy of Rock Band there with a bunch of songs that aren't in Rock Band.
No way.
Yes, it must have been hacked. It must have been hacked because, like, I got to play Search and Destroy, which was from Guitar Hero 2, the Iggy and the Stooges song. It had the theme song from Team America World Police. You know the one I'm talking about. The one I can't say on the air.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I got to play that in Rock Band. It was amazing. Like I said, I wish I'd have spent more time at the Run Center.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
It was great.
But how about the weather on that day, too?
Ooh, it was a little chilly. At one point, the Marvel photo shoot people were like, let's go over by the river and get some pictures. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then we walked outside. I was like, you guys have fun. I'm going to go back inside now. It's a little cold to just be out here in a t-shirt.
And plus, it's the Detroit riverfront.
Yes.
It doesn't get much worse than that.
Yes. Just getting on the People Mover each of the days. It's just once you get in the People Mover and there's a bunch of people, you're like, oh, this is cool. And that was really fun, too. Like, you'd see the People Mover pull up with, Inuyasha and a bunch of Team Fortress people and, like, all these characters.
All the hats and everything.
Yeah, they just pour out of the People Mover along with all these people that are actually downtown for the weekend for work or something, and they're just like, what is happening here?
Yeah, if they miss the memo that there's YumaCon going on, they're like,
I said it last week at the end of the show. I've never had a better con experience, and I'm looking forward to doing it again next year. It was super fantastic. Actually, I got you something from YumaCon. I actually got a press pass for myself and you. You couldn't make it, but I did want to give you your press pass as a reminder of all the things it could have been.
It looks really nice.
Next year, bro.
Next year, for sure.
Absolutely.
And like, there's a lot of other conventions, aren't there?
Oh yeah, they're doing like a media convention. In the spring, they're doing there's the comic conventions coming up in the spring as well. Detroit Fan Fair is in February, and the Motor City Con in Novi is I think April or May. So yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah,
I can't wait to go back. It was amazing to be downtown for it, and to like there was a sense of community that I've never seen in a con, and I think maybe it's because of the anime nature of it. But even if you didn't know what somebody's character was, which I ran into quite frequently being more comic book than anime based. Like I walked around, I think Friday and Sunday, I walked around as Constantine from the new NBC show and the Hellblazer comic. And quite often people were like, are you the guy from Supernatural? And I'm like, no, I'm the guy from the
NBC. It's not the worst when they jump to conclusions.
Right. But I did get a couple of people that recognized me, and those were super cool. I'm more of a stealth cosplayer. But I tell you, seeing all those cool costumes makes me want to up my game. makes me want to like learn to, you know, like mold some foam or some cardboard or something like that, and like up my game for next YumaCon, hopefully. It was super it was super fun.
And what's the one that just happened? Was BlizzCon?
Yes, actually, that was this past weekend. BlizzCon happened, the big Blizzard Entertainment that does World of Warcraft. It was an opportunity for people to see the Warlords of Draenor, which came out yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Or, no, it came out tonight, or today. They, you know, get hands-on with that. The Hearthstone game, the free-to-play Hearthstone game.
There's a world tour for that, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, they showed some of the World of Warcraft movie. They showed some stills from that that's coming out. And the big news was this Overwatch game. It's basically a free-to-play kind of Team Fortress game, which is cool. It looks like between this game and the Borderlands, people are doing a game next year, too, that's like it called Battleborn. It seems like this is the next battleground for video game makers to, like, try and make these free-to-play first-person or third-person shooters. Because I play one for the Transformers called Transformers Universe. It's free-to-play, and you can drop money into it to buy characters or, you know, get better at the game. But, you know, you can also just log in and play, which is really kind of cool.
Free to play to win? Or
wait. A little bit. It can be. That's always the line you tread.
Play to win, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But, Overwatch is going to be fantastic. I'm sure as we get more information on it, we'll talk about it more in the upcoming weeks on Nerd Radio. But seeing as we've blathered on here for about 10 minutes now, just want to say one final time, YumaCon, fantastic. Thank you to everybody that was part of it, everybody that was there, whether you were there as an attendee or you were there as a volunteer or you're working there. Everybody I had connections or everybody I met was awesome, and I can't wait to do it again next year. And we'll be back with more Nerd Radio right here on Rift 2.
Hope you've cleared out your DVR. Time for Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Spoilers.
Make it so.
Another Wednesday night edition of Nerd Radio here on Rift 2. Chuck Bean in studio with you. And I got kind of a special guest in studio with me right now. His name is Jeremy Campbell. He's our webmaster at the Rift. And how's it going, Jeremy?
It's going good.
You used to actually have a, do a gaming show.
I did.
On Rift 2 here.
I did. When Rift 2 very first started, me and another guy who used to work at the station, who now is in Florida, we had a show called The Loading Zone.
Yeah.
And it was good times. It was all video games.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that when we started the Nerd Radio stuff, I knew that I wanted to obviously cover video games. That's a big part of the nerd community. But I also knew that I wanted to get you in studio. That's actually... I'll reveal it right here tonight on Nerd Radio. That's actually the whole reason I started Nerd Radio is because I would walk by your office and I'd see, like, you've got the Optimus Prime and the Star Wars signs and stuff like that. I'm like, I want to make friends with that dude.
I do have quite my nerd collection.
Absolutely. So like, what's your jams, like, nerd wise? What do you really get into? Like I said, I've seen you've got some Transformer dudes in your office. You got that Spawn.
I've got you know, Transformers, Spawn. The reason why I got Spawn is one of the disc jockeys that used to work on Riff used to get sent McFarlane stuff all the time.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Everything that McFarlane put out for, like, that season, he would get sent, and all he was interested was in the sports figures.
Oh, you didn't want the comic book the Spawn guys.
So it's like, I'll take all this.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Like, I have tons of McFarlane toys and stuff.
Nice, nice.
Of course, Star Wars. Huge Star Wars nerd.
What are your feelings on the stuff coming up? The new Disney stuff.
I'm actually really excited about it. I mean, I like seeing it put to, you know, someone else's visions of Star Wars. Now that it's not really, I mean, Lucas, it's Disney. I mean, I saw the prequels. You know, yeah, I have my views on the prequels now, but I mean, I still went and saw them at the theaters a couple times.
Oh,
even though, you know,
well, yeah, because even in retrospect, how much the prequels are pretty much hated by a majority of, like, you know, anybody that has anything to say with Star Wars. There's good points in there. Like, we were getting Star Wars again.
You know,
you were getting some like high speed. There's the pod races in the first movie, and, you know, you're getting some space battles, which is a huge part of Star Wars. It's just that you didn't get, like, the epic feel of the original Star Wars. And I know, like, on a personal level, with, like, the first movie, it was so political.
It was. It was very political. But, though, it had a lot of... It had to build stuff up.
Yeah, totally.
For the next three, and even, you know, for the three that everyone really loves.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get that build up.
Yeah, when you're getting backstory, you're literally getting backstory. Like, you know, like you're saying, you have to build up to the point with the thing. And now, like I said, Disney having the LucasArts or Lucasfilm stuff as well as the Marvel stuff, which is really exciting because I just saw last week in January, Marvel's going to start doing the comics again, which is going to be a big deal. And it's going to be pretty cool because it seems like Marvel's really bringing all their A-plus players to doing Star Wars books. Like the initial book that's coming out is going to be like Han Solo, Princess Leia, like the characters we know and love, but the writer and artist are both like big, you know, big names. And it's going to be really interesting to see. And then Disney's also got the new cartoon.
Yep.
The what is it? Rebels.
Rebels.
Yeah, and I was actually in a toy store a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking at some of the figures and the stuff from that. And I really like the designs. It looks really cool.
It's really gotten out. Like I was talking to you the other day, and I told you I went to a show last week at a Royal Oak Music Theater, and there was even a guy there wearing one of the new Star Wars Rebels like masks.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, wow, like, people are really embracing this.
Which is cool. Absolutely. Just like the Clone Wars
before
it. I know that I have some friends that are super Star Wars nerds that they were all about that show. They're like, you got to see it.
I love that it's on Netflix, like, instant watch. I know. It's like, yes.
I know. I also dig the fact that, like, a lot of shows like that you can just, like, pop it up and you can watch as many episodes. You can go to specific episodes if you want to, you know, if you miss something and you want to catch it again. Just super cool. As we were saying previously, you did the gaming show.
Yes.
The stuff. You still play a ton of video games?
I still do, not as much as I would like to.
Sure.
Or that no, I have I time can. For being a fairly new father of he's 18 months old now, but
congratulations.
It takes a lot of wear and tear on
I'm
you
sure.
and at first you're thinking, okay, once the kid goes to bed,
yep.
that like I'll be able to play, but you're tired. And like when he was younger, I would still play while he was up because
he doesn't
realize like what's going on. Like that, oh look, dad's running around killing people on screen. But
that's
now that
he's
more observant, like he'll stare at the screen and stuff. And it's like, I don't want anything too violent
absolutely.
Or anything. So, I try to play like, right now I'm still playing, Deadpool game.
Oh, okay. On the consoles, the Xbox and the PS3.
And I just picked up a copy of the new Alien Isolation game.
Oh, me and Jefferson talked about that a couple weeks ago. Have you gotten very far into it?
I haven't even opened it yet.
Okay.
For this reason, and I was joking about this with my girlfriend the other night, is so I had a night off where my son was at his mother's.
Sure.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to break into this game. So, you know, I'm like, before I open it, I'm starting looking at all the graphics and all that. Because I'm one of the people, well, of course, I do graphic design here at the station. I like the packaging of things.
Absolutely.
I like looking at, you know, the art and all that. So I'm looking on the back and I realized that it says that you have to have 6.2 gigabytes free on your hard drive.
Okay.
To just be able to play it.
Okay. Is this on the PlayStation or the...
This is on the 360.
Okay.
I'm playing it on the 360. Well, I don't have that. Like, so I was like, well, I got to go through and delete stuff off my hard drive. So I'm going through and first it's like, yeah, I don't need this on there. I don't need that.
Certain
well,
games
then it's,
that you haven't played in years and you're just like, I don't need that no more.
Yeah. So it got into stuff where it's like, I want to play this game. And, you know, it's like downloaded content that I had bought for a certain game that I'm like, I really can't part with this.
Right. Like I can't start this new game until I finish this
like,
older stuff.
It took me a good hour to go through to clean off the hard drive enough to where I could start playing it, where I had enough space. And by that time I was just exhausted.
You're just done.
I was like, I'm mentally exhausted because I've just had to delete games that I've spent so many hours playing.
Yeah.
And you know,
I'm a little terrified that I know that I still play Rock Band, and those songs have probably eaten up a couple gigabytes worth of space. One of these days, I'm gonna hit that point. I'm gonna
those,
be like, oh, I gotta get rid of stuff.
Those were some of the ones that I had to let go.
Yeah,
it's like okay, like I started looking at like it will show you like last you know updated and stuff, and you're saved, and I'm like, I haven't touched this game in like 2.5 years. I'm like, it's just time to let it go.
That's terrifying too, especially with the last gen of systems, the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. To imagine that we had them for long enough that there's certain games that are in your memory.
Oh yeah.
Like it feels like it was 6 months ago that I just played Dead Rising, but in reality it was like 4 years ago. Yep. It's crazy.
So I was like, okay, how? And like, there was a part of me too that was just like, Jeremy, just go and buy a new hard drive.
Yeah,
They're not that much. You can go buy that way. Then you can, you know. And I'm like, no, just let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Totally. Well, you have to let us know. Once you get into it, and we'll definitely have you on the show.
Yeah, quite anytime. Often.
All right, we'll get back to the music here on Nerd Radio. Thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson's always the one that's sitting there. Thanks to Jeremy for being in studio with us, and we'll talk to you again real soon, man.
Thanks for having me.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
I don't want to see it.
Back with more Nerd Radio here on Rift 2. Chuck Bean, Jefferson Moore in studio with you, as always, on a Wednesday night. And one of the things we talked about at the top of the show, some of the cosplay I saw at YumaCon, one of the things that I did see cosplay of, is a game that is probably, I'd say, almost game of the year this year.
Only because it's scary.
It is.
Like, scary game of the year.
Well, it's ingenious the way it's put together. It's an independent game made by one dude, Scott Coffin? I don't know.
That sounds right.
I wrote it down, and my writing is terrible. So there you go. It came out on the PC. Now you can get it on like the Android and the iPhone and stuff, which is mind-blowing, but it's called Five Nights at Freddy's. And I've talked to Jefferson off-air about this game ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
And it mixes the cuteness of what you would see at like a Chuck E. Cheese, cute. You know, the anime, or in Disney World, to cute. the terror that of being all by yourself as an overnight kind of person, which being in radio, like we've kind of he's just keep saying cute.
Not the ones that I've been to.
All right, well,
it's certainly not in this game. There's not an ounce of cuteness in this.
No. At one time,
these things are terrifying.
At one time, these animatronics may have been adorable, but the story of the game is that you take an overnight security job at this pizzeria that has a couple of these animatronic things that are hanging out on the stage, and where it takes a turn is that the animatronics will actually walk around at night and kind of roam around the pizzeria, and you can't let them in the security room or they'll murder you. Which you would think would shut a place down, but it's all part of the story. There's a very interesting underlying story, much like the original Portal game. There's this underlying story that, like, if you pay attention to some of the stuff on the walls and some of the audio cues, yep, and stuff like that, like there's a whole backstory that you don't even get in the first couple of times you try this game out. But it is terrifying, yeah, in that it's much like the from a couple of years ago, the Slender the Eight Pages game. It, yep, takes away, I may be using this term wrong, your sense of agency, in that, like, you can't fight back.
Right.
All you can do is sit in the security room
and shut your doors
and watch the cameras and watch the doors and shut the doors. And that's all you got. That's your only weapon, is to hide and run, kind of like the Alien Isolation game we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's definitely something they figured out in the last couple of years. If you want to, mm-hmm, make a scary game, take away the player's ability to fight back.
And you will scare people's pants off.
Right. And then, you know, it's led to, as I said, there was a bunch of cosplayers at YumaCon last week. There was the one guy, the Living Tombstone, that was there. I played his song last week at the end of the show, the Five Nights at Freddy's song, which is catchy as hell and is absolutely fantastic. And it's led to, there's a particular guy that does Let's Play videos on YouTube called Markiplier, and, mm-hmm, he's kind of blown up thanks to his Five Nights at Freddy's playthrough, because he's got a very good voice, and nonetheless, he's got a radio voice, actually.
Yeah, right.
And he's very good at reacting to scary games, and that's what he does on YouTube, and it's fantastic. And they just announced a couple of weeks ago, I think, that there will be a sequel, if not at the end of this year, in 2015, there will be a Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Adding more rooms to the game, the ability to actually walk around the pizzeria at night instead of just being stuck in the...
Why would you want to do that?
Well, because that way, like, if you know they're coming to the security room, you can go to a different room. You can get the hell away room. But then they're gonna
come.
They're still out there. They're gonna come to your room, and that's kind of the mechanic of the game is that you could somebody telling you about it initially and be like, well, why don't you just shut the doors and just leave them shut for the rest of the night? Because you're running on a generator that only has so much power, and when the power runs out, everything shuts off and the doors open up, and there's nothing you can do. Then you're screwed. Then they're gonna murder you. But up to that point, using the cameras, using the lights in the hallways, and using the doors all conserve power. And and you got to make sure that you have enough to make it from midnight to 6 a.m. Not in real time. You don't have to play for 6 full hours. But the time does tend to drag by as you're watching your power tick down really, really quickly. It was actually, I don't know if it still is, but the original Five Nights at Freddy's was on sale last week. I got an email on my phone while I was at YumaCon, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago on the weekend, saying that it's a $5 game on Steam. It was a $2.50 game, and I thought I should buy that game because I played the demo a billion times, but I don't know that I'll play it a whole lot because it's scary. There's been times with the demo where it's like, well, I want to play this Five Nights at Freddy's game, but I'd also like to sleep in, like, I don't know, 6 hours from now. And
right,
it was super frightening.
Yeah, you gotta play it. Well, if you want to scare yourself even more, you got to play it with headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
In the dark, with no one around.
Yeah, with
no
one,
other distractions.
No one in the room or even the house with you.
Yeah.
And
if you want to play it and not be scared, play with a friend. No headphones, just...
In the middle of the day, and the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, there's people around.
And then there's still a chance they'll get nightmares, but it's less.
Yeah, yeah, and it's one of those games too. Fair warning, it's one of those games that it's a jump scare. It's there's phone calls from the day watchmen that kind of set up the game at the beginning of each night and are kind of like the psychological stuff. But the death sequences are very much just one of the animatronics jumping out from the side of the screen at you. It's very jump scare. So if that's not your thing, then you obviously don't want it. But You don't want to check it out, but I would definitely recommend at any case checking out Markiplier's Let's Play of it. I'll share it on our Facebook, facebook.com/Rift2Nerds. It's going to be cool. Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
Yeah, you can get even more scared about a scary game. Whoa. I like how we're not being able to like shift gears out of this scary, spoopy kind of thing.
I can't help
since that. Halloween, yeah.
I enjoy it. I enjoy scary games. I think I enjoy scary games because as a kid, I was terrible at scary movies.
Right.
And at least with the games, you feel a sense of control. You feel a sense
even
of like,
it's...
like I can, especially the way like some of the terror games used to be, they would just be first person shooters. And at a certain point, you would just become this like walking arsenal of guns.
Yeah.
And you would just shoot all the zombies or all the monsters.
Oh, because a scary monster looks like it would be able to tear me apart and it's dead.
Yeah. Let me pull out my chain gun or my laser rifle and just rip it in two.
Not fair. The poor zombie never stood a chance.
He just wanted hugs.
And your brains.
Brain
Let's
hugs.
Be honest here.
All right, we'll be back with more Nerd Radio right after this.
You're a talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd. Now hit it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio on Riff 2.
Run for your life. Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
We're back with more Nerd Radio right here on Riff 2. Jefferson Moore and Chuck Bean in studio on a Wednesday night, as we are all the time. And I've been watching this new show, I guess you could call it. It's based on an old comic called Hellblazer. It's the show, however, is called Constantine.
Who is your favorite superhero, isn't he?
I believe so. He's definitely one of my favorites as far as when it comes to like the superhero.
He's your favorite
comic.
DC, at least.
I would definitely say out of
and
the DC.
Who's your favorite
universes.
Marvel?
I think I settled on Nightcrawler last time we talked about this.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I think Nightcrawler is the one I settled on. I would cosplay Nightcrawler, but that's a lot of blue makeup.
Yeah, too much.
I don't know if I could. I'd still be blue right now. Yeah. YumaCon was 2 weeks ago. I'd still be blue if I was Nightcrawler. I did see a badass Nightcrawler out there, though. Awesome. She was awesome. But yeah, the Constantine show, super, super cool. And one of the things that parallels with it that we were talking about off the air is one of your favorite book series, the Dresden, is it the Dresden Files?
Yeah, the Dresden Files. It had a brief foray into the TV world.
Sure.
Sci-fi did it, so it was cheesy.
And it's had a brief runs in the comics world too. They've done miniseries
Dresden
as well. So the Constantine show follows a guy who professes to be a demonologist when actually he's a con man. British blonde dude, used to be a punk rocker in the 70s, grew up on the Sex Pistols and decided to start his own band while they were doing a bunch of drugs and trying to get laid as punks in the 70s. He started dabbling in magic and found out about demons and how to conjure them, and did some bad things. And now he's in the show. He's trying to save his soul by righting wrongs, and much like in the Keanu Reeves movie, by sending demons back to hell. Tell me a little bit about Dresden. How does this what is this dude like?
It's not exactly like that.
Okay.
Like, I thought he does magic.
Okay.
At the very least, that's where the things lie. But he's a detective. And the magic in this world is basically you're born with a gift.
Okay.
And you train the gift with a mentor, and eventually you can join this council of magic called the White Council. And you have a good time, except for the White Council has a bunch of laws that you need to follow. And basically, this guy, the author, tackles every supernatural thing you can imagine.
So there's werewolves and mummies and vampires, werewolves, and yeah, all sorts of cool
no
stuff.
No mummies yet.
No mummies yet?
Okay. They tackled zombies for a little bit. All kinds of vampires. They did three different kinds of vampires that he invented.
Mm-hmm. Well,
one, the Black Court vampires, that's how he describes them differently.
Sure.
The courts. Black Court's like right out of Bram Stoker's book.
Okay.
Like all the pluses, all the minuses. So
right.
Holy water, garlic, all that good stuff. Then there was the Red Court, which is these big bat creatures with flesh masks that make them look more like humans.
So they're more like animalistic.
Right, yep. Yep, all about blood and everything.
Right.
They have, like, the kiss of death and whatnot.
Interesting.
No, more like a neurotic kiss, I guess. But and then there's the White Court vampires, which are basically succubi and incubus, so.
Always fun. Yeah.
Always nice to do that. And also there's fairies and F-A-E-R-I-E-S.
The fae.
Yeah, the fae. That's the best way to say it. And they're all super tricky because
right,
like if
it sounds a lot like the White Wolf tabletop system covers a lot of that stuff. Like they started with a vampire game and then they branched out into a werewolf game, and then there was mages,
yeah,
and there's fae, and you know, there's all the different trying to do all, they call it a world of darkness, and they kind of thing. And I think I have a friend, Stacy. Hi, Stacy. She listens every Wednesday night. She's listening, and I'm sure she's listening right now, and she's like, they're talking about Dresden. I know about that thing. but yeah, she loves the Dresden books, and part of the reason she loves them is because we played the White Wolf tabletop a lot.
Yeah, gotcha.
She's a librarian. She discovered them, and she's like, these are great.
Oh, yeah. So you're talking about, they have a comic book. They also have a role-playing game, too.
Yep.
That, I don't know if it's by the same company or
anything. I don't think so. Yeah. But
that is saying a couple of buddies of mine do that, which is super cool. I guess it's super nerdy, but whatever.
Yeah, it is. But that's what we talk about here on Rift 2. We talk about all the different nerdy stuff.
Yeah. They never invited me, so.
Aww. They didn't think you could handle tabletop role-playing game?
I guess not.
Did they tell you, maybe, were you like, listen, can I just bring my PlayStation controller? And I'll just say, like, I don't need to actually be playing with that, but, you know, it's a role-playing game, right?
Yeah.
I need to be able to press X.
Right. But the writing in this is really funny. Like, the main character, Harry Dresden, is a big goof-off. He's a detective, but, I mean, he has a kind of unorthodox way of doing everything. He's been known to do magic spells that are kind of silly. Like, he's used a little duck.
Okay.
Like one of the quack quack things that just like waddles along as a tracking device.
Nice.
And he's used Play-Doh as a way to ensnare demons, things like that.
Interesting.
And he's just very well written. He's
so
funny.
You said there's a court of magicians that you have to like train under.
Yeah.
My first question is, what happens to magicians that don't train under the court?
There's a couple of books that cover that.
Are they like, right? I would imagine, because that seems like the first big like plot device is like, well, there has to be people that are born with the gift that like either get tossed out or never get to the core, mm-hmm. you know, never get to wizard school, if you will, like Harry Potter.
Right,
if you
yeah.
will. They never make it to Hogwarts. And the yeah. other thing I wanted to ask is Harry Dresden is the character's name,
yep,
right?
Yep.
I would imagine he's kind of a rule breaker.
Oh, yeah.
As far as those are concerned.
He's described as really tall. He's like 6 foot.
Oh, he's just like me.
Yeah, right. He wears a long leather duster.
Yep, still me.
unruly black hair, so.
No, okay, not me.
Face and everything. Carries along his big staff with carved things on it.
I've been known to carry a big staff.
What? I've never... Okay. Anyway. Yeah, so he's a rule breaker and everything.
I don't break any rules. I'm not Harry Dresden.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Oh, well.
You wish you were. I actually went for Halloween for him a while ago back.
Nice.
Yeah. So you were talking about what happens to the people that don't meet up with the court.
Right.
Basically, the first book covers that, and so does one of the later ones. Like, the first book is about a rogue warlock, which is someone who practices the darker sides of magic.
Sure.
That break the 10 laws of magic that they got. So you shall not kill. You can't alter with people's minds. You can't bend time or whatever else.
Nice.
So people that break those are called warlocks, and they're kind of the enemies of the court. Council, sorry.
Are they like kill on sight when it comes to that kind of thing?
There's basically this police force part that's a subset of the White Council that's called the Wardens.
Okay.
And they're tasked with hunting down these warlocks and making sure that they don't cause any mischief. And they behead them, basically. So, yeah.
So, yeah, it is kind of a kill on sight thing. Well, not on sight. It's like, you know, capture yeah. and then take your head.
Yeah. So. And, one of the...
Do the magic police have magic guns?
They have magic swords.
Magic swords?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is way better. So.
Yeah, that is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they got magic, so they can just say, fireball.
Right. Yeah, it's like a magic gun.
Yeah.
There are no... In the Hellblazer universe, there are definitely magicians, but there's no magic police. It was funny you were talking about how Harry Dresden uses the different things. The last week's episode of Constantine, he did this thing. I don't remember this in the comics whatsoever, but he pulled out a playing card,
mm-hmm.
and it was literally psychic paper from Doctor Who. It
oh,
was literally, geez. Like, he showed it to somebody to get into something and then explained it to whatever, and I had to tweet it. I was like, did Constantine literally just use... For those who don't watch Doctor Who, the Doctor has this thing, like a wallet, and it's called psychic paper, and when he shows it
a piece of paper,
yeah, and when he shows it to people, it will psychically project whatever the doctor needs that person to see in order for him to get by. So if
it's
needs
very
to
handy
see, yeah it's like fake ID, it's like psychic fake ID, and Constantine used a dark magic version of that last week, and I was like, that's a Doctor Who thing. It's almost I was saying that off the air too. It's almost with the Dresden stuff and Constantine and the Doctor, almost going back to Sherlock Holmes. It's almost its own genre of like the smartest guy in the room,
yeah.
type of stuff, where it's a little bit of wish fulfillment. Like you watch or you read these things and you're like, I'd like to be that guy. I'd like to be clever enough to, like, you know, to BS my way through this problem, or, you know, to fool demons or, you know, fae or whatever like that. But
yep. Yeah, and one of my favorite things about the book is, first of all, very well written. It's hilarious.
How many books are in the series?
Right now there is 14,
yeah.
I think.
And who's the, do you know who the author is?
Yeah, Jim Butcher.
And he's still writing more?
Yes.
Excellent.
He has, I think, a plan to do 26 of them, I believe.
Oh, wow.
So he's still going strong. And
wow.
It's pretty great. Yeah.
It's neat that, like, he's still making, what you said, there's 14, he's planning to make 26. He's still making books, even though, like, he's kind of done everything with the franchise he can do up to, like, getting a movie deal, you know, like you were saying, he got a sci-fi show, and like, you got it translated to television, that's kind of cool. He got some comic books, he got translated to a different medium there. It's
really,
like,
want them to make a movie, but...
I'm sure when you do books, there's always books on tape, you know, get audio stuff like that, so that's always super fun, you know. It's
yeah, I take a long drive.
Yeah. Pop, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You're saying
no, that's right.
The
Favorite thing about it is the character tackles so many problems at a given time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at one point, I think in the fourth book, he's taking care... Ah, oh, dang, I'm not thinking of a good example right now. Basically, he'll be taking care of a big fairy war.
Sure.
While dealing with the Red Court causing mischief.
Right.
And then, like, all kinds of things. And it's like, how are they going to resolve all this by the end? And
right.
then it all comes all together in one
beautiful bow. It all ties up at the end.
And it's really clever how he does it. And I'd argue that the books are getting better as he's going on.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, I would... the author hits its stride mostly on the third book, so the first two are a little more dry, because...
Yeah, well, yeah, he's setting up his world building.
Yeah, right. Like, he starts it off with more of a film noir kind of feel.
Right.
So, like, he's... I'm a private eye, it says so on my door, that kind of
he's
thing.
He's got to do all the monologue stuff.
Exactly, yeah. And then he's, like, he's introducing all the baddies, and then later on it's well established that these are
yeah.
the bad guys.
You know who the good guys and the bad guys are. You right. know what the world is kind of like. You know what yep. some of the rules are. So you can just, like, jump right in.
And one kind of cool thing that the author does is he, with each, whenever he starts a new book, he kind of describes what... Like, if this is the first book they read,
sure.
he describes it well enough that you aren't lost completely. Like, I actually started with a fourth book.
Okay.
And then I read that one till the sixth, and I jumped back to and one, two,
yeah.
and then three, and then I read those ones again, and I moved nice. On to the new ones.
How do you, how do you read those? Do you have, like, an e-reader, or do you actually buy the hardcovers or the paperbacks?
I went to the library.
Oh, all right.
Nothing to do. Except for the last couple where I couldn't wait long enough.
Right.
And I just got it on a Kindle, and I'm like, all right, time to read this stuff.
Right.
And it's a good read. Yeah.
Excellent.
So the last three books, I think, are on my iPad right now. So
yeah.
It is a good time.
Yeah. So if you...
You should read them.
Yeah. So if sounds like a thing you'd super be interested in, go to the library, just like Jefferson did.
Woo.
Get yourself some Justin Files books by... What was his name again?
Jim Butcher.
And
he's also got a couple of other series, Codex Alara, and I think that might be it, but also some comics as well that
yep,
he made.
Totally. And while you're at the library, you can check out the Hellblazer comic from DC Vertigo. Yep. It's some pretty, I would suggest Dangerous Habits. It's actually the story that the Constantine Keanu Reeves movie was kind of based on, the whole plot thread of him having cancer and knowing that he's going to die, and that when he dies his soul is going to hell because he's a magician, and trying to figure out how he gets out of that. That all comes from the Dangerous Habits story, and it actually ties up. I can see why they changed it in the movie, but it ties up way better in the comics.
Gotcha.
Way better. We'll be back with more Nerd Radio right after this.
We're back with more Nerd Radio on Riff 2.
Roger me, welcome me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
Wrapping up another edition of Nerd Radio on Riff 2. Chuck being here with you. Thanks to my co-host, Jefferson Moore, as well as Jeremy Campbell for being here with us on Nerd Radio on Riff 2 tonight. And a special shout-out to my bros, Tim, Jess, Martin, and Ren for hanging out with me all weekend a couple weekends ago at YumaCon. We had a great time. We'll have to do it again next year. You can always find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Riff2Nerds, as well as on Twitter at Riff2Nerds as well. You can always send us a tweet. Let us know what you think of the show and anything that you'd like us to check out. Or, you know, if you make video games or you make some cool nerd stuff, comic books, whatever, and you want us to talk about your stuff on the show, just get a hold of us on Facebook or Twitter. My name is Chuck Bean. We'll be back next Wednesday night at about 10 o'clock. I got a stack of comics in front of me that I'm looking forward to reading. A couple of things that I'm looking forward to in the stack. The new all-new Captain America featuring Falcon from the Captain America Winter Soldier movie as Captain America. The first issue of that is sitting right in front of me, as well as the second issue of the new female Thor from the Marvel Comics. On the DC side of things, you've got Batman 36, the second part of Endgame, which features a Justice League led by the Joker versus the Batman, which is pretty cool, and Batgirl 36 as well, which is really cool. If you dig in Marvel's kind of slice of life street level heroes like Hawkeye, Batgirl 36 is definitely something you should check out.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Thank you.
So tired of this. Freaking go away, you freak.
You've been listening to the Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast. Each week, our podcast can be found on our website, wrif.com/Rift2, RIFF2. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Rift2Nerds. It's RIFF2Nerds, NERDS. And you can find us on Twitter as well, at Rift2Nerds. Listen to Nerd Radio on Rift 2 every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. And thank you for listening to our Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast.